have an ace in the hole.
Welcome to the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. Meet him, greet him, treat him, and street him. Today's date is March 12, 2018, and I am your skeptical host, Ken Milne. The title of today's podcast is Ace in the Hole, Confirming Endotracheal Tube Placement with POCUS. And our guest skeptic is Chip Lang. He is an emergency medicine physician assistant working primarily in rural Missouri in community hospitals. He hosts this great FOMED blog and podcast called Total EM. Chip is also the CEO of a new educational company called Practical POCUS. Welcome back to the SGEM, Chip.
Thanks again for having me back again. It is always a pleasure to have a podcast with you.
Well, you have to tell us about this new ultrasound education company called Practical POCUS.
Yeah, so sometimes it gets called a hocus pocus. I promise that wasn't what we're going for, but it's great for that. We are actually a growing group of educators that have all had quite a bit of experience in point-of-care ultrasound, or POCUS. And what we do is we do a combination of things. Yes, we help with conferences and we do our own trainings at certain locations. But the big thing that we do that's unique that you really don't see other educational companies do is we go to sites and we train people on their machines at their location. And we really like that because then it helps save the cost for those individuals because they're not trying to coordinate getting people to other parts of the country or world for that matter. And they're not having to worry about the fact of if one person gets training that's only a few hours in length while another person gets multiple day courses, how are they all comparable? Well, everyone gets the same standardized approach in training. And the best part is they learn on their machines, so they're able to turn around right away and use it for their next shift.
Well, I am a POCUS novice, so it's great to have a POCUS expert on this edition of the SGEM. But if people want to transition from a novice like me to be an expert like you, do you have any courses where people can sign up?
Absolutely. In fact, if you are looking forward to a conference that's coming just around the corner because some people are itching to burn their CME money already, AAPA, the American Academy of Physician Assistants, opens it to everyone. It's not just for PAs. It can be for anyone who wants the education. And they are very, very low cost in the courses. We have some courses that we're doing. We're doing some two-hour workshop-style courses. So they're very focused on a couple of specialties and a couple of specific skills. But it's a great way to test your feet and get a feel of things. And then we have longer courses that we do as well. But the AAPA course we do on the 19th, May 19th, we'll have those little two-hour workshops throughout the whole day. And then on May 20th, if you're a student listening to this, especially if you're a PA student, and you want to get some free hands-on training, we do it for the students as well the next day, and the same style. So basically what the attendings are learning are the same as what the students are going to learn. And then we have the Yes, I Scan workshop, which is a team-based competition of students, and that is another fun activity we do. Of course, like I said, Ken, we go to people, so we can do that anytime, and you can reach out through us through the website, which I think Ken is going to include in the show notes for Practical POCUS, but we're found at practicalpocus.com. And then finally, I'm very excited to announce, and there's going to be more details coming, but you're the official first place to announce this at, is August 5th through 7th, we're going to have Critical Access 2019, which, Ken, this is basically for people who are working in the small hospitals like we are, where We don't have a lot of access to resources, and a lot of times we're having to make some important decisions. So we have a course that's going to be based off of using pocket ultrasound machines and using other similar devices so that way you're ready to be able to use this in a very practical approach on your next shift.
Well, let's give the SGEMers a practical POCUS example with a case where you can use point of care or bedside ultrasound in your practice.
All right, so you have a 48-year-old male who comes in cardiac arrest and is not being successfully oxygenated with bag valve mask or a supraglottic airway. And I mention that specifically, Ken, because of some of your recent posts. While preparing to intubate the patient, you consider ways to quickly confirm endotracheal tube placement. You have a colleague in the room who's proficient at ultrasound, and you ask if there is a role for bedside ultrasound in this situation.
Well, we have covered ultrasound a number of times on the SGEM, and I'll list those in the show notes.
And the SGEM has also discussed endotracheal intubation a number of times.
Endotracheal intubation can be a challenge and, if incorrectly performed, can lead to death. Rapid confirmation of endotracheal tube placement is vital, and ASEP has a policy statement on this issue, which I'll list in the show notes. The various methods to confirm tube placement include things like physical exam, so you can auscultate the chest and the epigastrium. You can look at the chest to see if it's moving up and down, and you can also look for condensation or fogging on the tube. You can also use direct visualization, so you can watch the tube go through the cords, or you can watch it on video as the tube goes through the cords. You can pull out pulse oximetry, get a chest x-ray, use esophageal detector devices, and then there's end-tidal carbon dioxide detection. And this can be continuous waveform capnography or non-waveform capnography, or that colorimetric change where it goes to mellow yellow.
And there's evidence to indicate that these commonly used endpoints for rapid confirmation can be inaccurate. In fact, a lot of people's favorite is quantitative waveform capnography, which I admit I like to use in my practice when available too. But even with one of the best methods out there, quantitative waveform capnography, you know, one of the best methods that's considered out there, it is only correct with tube confirmation in about two-thirds of cases.
Well, a fast and reliable alternative would be great. And point-of-care ultrasound, or POCUS, has become more popular over time for its ease of usability and accuracy in a variety of applications. A number of small studies have been done using POCUS to confirm endotracheal tube placements. Now, these studies have been relatively small with wide confidence intervals. So what's the question we're going to try to answer today?
What is the accuracy of ultrasonography for confirmation of endotracheal tube placement?
And the reference?
Gottlieb, Holliday, and Pexa, Ultrasonography for the Confirmation of Endotracheal Tube Intubation, a Systematic Review and Meta-Analysis, Annals of Emergency Medicine, 2018.
Let's run through the PICO. What was the population?
Patients over 18 years of age in a prospective or randomized controlled trial undergoing assessment of transtracheal ultrasonography for endotracheal tube placement confirmation.
And they excluded case reports, case series, retrospective studies, cadaver studies, pediatric studies, and conference abstracts. What was the intervention?
Transtracheal ultrasonography to confirm endotracheal tube placement.
And what did they compare it to, Chip?
Confirmatory testing of endotracheal tube placement, such as end-tidal CO2, colorimetric capnography, or direct visualization.
All right, let's go through the outcomes. What was their primary outcome from this systematic review and meta-analysis?
Accuracy of transtracheal ultrasound.
And their secondary outcome?
Time to confirmation and subgroup analyses.
So the author's conclusions were, quote, transtracheal sonography is rapid to perform with an acceptable degree of sensitivity and specificity for the confirmation of endotracheal intubation. Ultrasonography is a valuable adjunct and should be considered when quantitative capnography is unavailable or unreliable. End of quote. All right, we've got six quality checklists for systematic reviews of diagnostic studies. The first question, Chip, the diagnostic question is clinically relevant with an established criteria.
Unsure. There's no established criterion standard, but methods for confirmation exist as described above.
The search for studies was detailed and exhaustive.
Yes, they used a medical librarian, which is always a favorite, searched multiple databases, reviewed the bibliographies of identified studies and review articles, and contacted experts in the field.
The third question, the methodological quality of primary studies, was assessed for common forms of diagnostic research bias.
Yes.
The assessment of studies was reproducible.
Unsure on that one, Ken.
And was there low heterogeneity for the estimate of sensitivity or specificity?
Yes, the I-square for the primary outcome was zero.
Yeah, you can't get lower than zero. Okay, the final question. The summary diagnostic accuracy is sufficiently precise to improve upon existing clinical decision models.
Unsure on that one, too.
All right, let's run through the key results. Their search identified 17 studies. There were 15 prospective observational studies and two randomized control trials with almost 1,600 patients. 12 of the 17 studies were done in the emergency department. The mean age was 55 years, with 57% being male patients. Esophageal intubation rate was 15%. Give us the big result.
I love this number right here because they're two very big, very good numbers. Transtracheal ultrasonography was 98.7% sensitive and 97.1% specific.
Yeah, and that was for the diagnostic accuracy of transtracheal ultrasound for endotracheal tube placement. And I'll put those point estimates with their 95% confidence intervals in a table. Now, if you look at the likelihood ratios, the likelihood ratio positive was 34, and the likelihood ratio negative was 0.01. How about the secondary outcome?
So the secondary outcome was mean time to confirmation, which is 13 seconds.
Now, they did some subgroup analyses. These did not demonstrate a significant difference by location, provider specialty, provider experience, transducer type, or technique. Chip, you know we're done the results section.
Yeah, which means it's time to talk nerdy.
Yeah, baby, let's talk nerdy. Okay, so we've got 5 points, and I'm going to lead it off with the included studies. And as stated in the background material, a number of studies have been done using POCUS to confirm endotracheal tube placement. Most of these studies have been relatively small with wide confidence intervals. Most of the studies included in this systematic review and meta-analysis were of low risk of bias. However, 15 out of the 17 included studies were prospective observational studies. Only two were RCTs. And that meant there were just over 200 patients, or 14%, came from randomized control trials. In addition, 13 of the 17 studies did not enroll consecutive patients, but used convenience sampling, which can introduce selection bias. These limitations of included studies in this systematic review and meta-analysis makes it hard to make any strong statements on using transtracheal ultrasound for endotracheal tube placement.
Our second point is the lack of a gold standard. There's no set established criterion standard to confirm endotracheal tube placement, like we were just discussing a few minutes ago. A number of methods are available and often used in combination. Each confirmation modality has their potential benefits and limitations. For example, chest x-ray takes a long time to confirm compared to some of our others. Capnography, even though we like it so much because of how good we usually think it is lower on sensitivity than we normally think, especially in cardiac arrest. And auscultation can be inaccurate or difficult to detect, especially in loud environments.
The third nerdy point was about esophageal intubation rate. This was very high at 15%. A previous study has shown that the rate in the emergency department to be only 3%. This could be due to different levels of training of those performing the intubation. Studies included medical students, residents, and attending physicians.
Our fourth point was about accuracy and speed. When confirming endotracheal intubation, you want a method that is both accurate and fast. We talked about the potential limitations with sensitivity of waveform capnography. Ultrasound provides a much more rapid evaluation to confirm, which means fewer potential complications like regurgitation of stomach contents or worsening hypoxia due to improper endotracheal tube placement. Ultrasound confirmed placement in 13 seconds while capnography can take about 60 seconds. It is unsure if this difference in time results in a patient-oriented benefit.
Chip, I'm really glad you mentioned patient-oriented benefits or patient-oriented outcomes. Those are so very important and are referred to as POS or POOS. Now, I'm trying to coin a new term. So there are the patient-oriented outcomes, the POS. There's the disease-oriented outcomes, the DOES. But I'm trying to introduce a new term, and that's the MOOS. And a MOO is a monitored-oriented outcome. What do you think of that?
I like that because even though we didn't specifically monitor in this case, when you're attempting to intubate patients, if you do an esophageal intubation, you don't realize it right away. So again, that 13 versus 60 seconds it would take to confirm that you had an improper placement, all that time, that means that someone's bagging away. And as they see those O2 stats go down, even though we tell them not to, they're going to bag faster and faster. And next thing you know, you have a stomach full of air. And as soon as you pull that tube out, everything that was in that stomach is going to come out with it, making that second intubation attempt so much harder. And we know about the importance of first pass success for that reason.
All right, the fifth and final nerdy point is about publication bias. The funnel plot analysis demonstrates evidence of publication bias. The bias would be towards not publishing negative studies. This is a well-known phenomenon in the medical literature. This form of bias would skew the results and make the transtracheal ultrasound placement confirmation look better. Okay, nerdiness is over. Now we've got to comment on the author's conclusions and compare them to the SGEM's conclusions.
We agree that transtracheal sonography is rapid, seems to have very good diagnostic accuracy, and could be a valuable adjunct when quantitative capnography is unavailable or unreliable.
All right, Chip, give us a bottom line.
Transtracheal sonography represents a potential fast and accurate way to help confirm endotracheal tube placement in conjunction with other methods.
And how about a case resolution?
So your colleague is familiar with the application of POCUS for endotracheal tube placement and agrees to assist you in your innovation attempt. While you directly visualize the passage of the endotracheal tube through the cords, she is able to see the appropriate findings consistent with successful placement. Waveform capnography is used in addition and further supports the appropriate placement. With this successful innovation, the patient's oxygen saturations do improve.
All right, how are you going to take this systematic review and meta-analysis and apply it clinically?
So POCUS for confirmation of endotracheal tube placement is another example of emergency medicine embracing this new technology. It represents another potential tool that can be used in combination with existing methods to verify correct tube placement. As these bedside devices become pocket-sized and more affordable, it will be interesting to see how clinicians continue to include POCUS into their practice.
And Chip, didn't you just get a butterfly IQ? Not that we're promoting any one product, but I saw recently that you got one of these new pocket-sized devices.
Absolutely, and this is something that I use primarily in the teaching world right now because I do have access to some great machines at my main shop, but I love the idea of the butterfly IQ because of its price point. And that's true for any pocket ultrasound device. Just Butterfly has the lowest price point. So again, like Ken's saying, not endorsing a single product, but it is a very reliable tool. It shows some great images. It's easy to use. And again, you can just stick it in your pocket. But I love it, and I have enjoyed using it. It is really nice to be able to practice ultrasound at home as well when you're not working, just to get better at certain techniques.
So what are you going to tell the patient?
Well, the patient is intubated, or at this point is now intubated, but really there's not too much to tell them. What I am going to do is talk to my team and help explain how we're going to rapidly confirm endotracheal intubation with the use of transtracheal ultrasound in conjunction with other methods, such as direct visualization of the tube's passage through the cords, auscultation, and waveform capnography.
It's time to announce the Keener contest, and last week's winner was Stephen Stelt from Auckland, New Zealand. He knew the name of the Valiant Five that asked the Supreme Court of Canada back in 1927 if the word person included female persons. What's the question this week?
This is probably the hardest one I've asked yet, but what is the earliest article published describing ultrasound confirmation of endotracheal tube placement?
Well, if you know Chip's hardest question to date, then send an email to thesgem@gmail.com with Keener in the subject line. The first correct answer will receive a cool skeptical prize. There are some other FOMED resources on this, and I'll list those in the show notes. Thanks again, Chip, for coming back on the SGEM.
Thank you, Ken, for having me as always.
And you get to read the tagline.
Remember to be skeptical of anything you learn, even if you heard it on The Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine.
Talk to everyone next week. You've got to have